Joining us today, please welcome a new contributor to our winning business segment, Hal Adler. He's the president of a Great Place to Work Institute. And you're probably familiar with the annual Fortune magazine. In fact, one just came out with 100 Great Places to Work. Yeah, his company's doing all the work to figure that one out. And Hal, first of all, you've been a great guest before. Thank you so much for joining us on Winning Business.
My pleasure, Stu. Thanks for having me.
And what did you learn from the latest sense of findings? Or is there anything new out there you want to share with our audience?
Yeah. Well, thanks for the opportunity to talk a little bit about this. Certainly, this time of year for us is the most exciting in some ways. This is about 2 weeks after our 2008 Fortune release of the 100 Best Companies to Work For. It just came out in Fortune magazine, hit the newsstands probably about 2 weeks ago, and will be available out there for another two, maybe 3 weeks. It's an exciting time of year. It's the culmination of a lot of hard work that goes on, you know, basically the other 11 months. And we can always, at the beginning of that, issue release, look at it and look for new things, and it's incredibly interesting to think about how organizations are maintaining or achieving this great workplace status and really what they're doing to build trust inside organizations. I think one of the most amazing things about this is not necessarily what's new and trendy, but what is consistent and what we see year over year. And among the things that I would point to and look at and try to build as a foundational point is this idea that great workplace leaders get less caught up around the question, what should we do, but really begin to focus our energy on how should we do it. And when we look at all the differentiators and we look at all the things that great companies are doing relative to industry peers and not so great companies, we can really see that every time as a distinctive difference. Great company leaders don't simply think about what to do, but also how to do it. And it's an important variation. It's an important distinction. A couple of just great examples of that. When we think about great workplaces and this important journey we're all on, organizations and leaders in there, you hear a lot about, you know, what are the best companies doing and how do we do it? What are the perks? What are the policies? What are the communication practices? And those are all really good questions. But the danger in that whole cut and paste mentality, you know, figure out what they're doing and let's do it, is not simply that it's old news by the time you find it, but also that what makes that particular practice or policy or perk work is because it aligns with the organization it's happening in. It aligns with the culture. It aligns with who they actually are. A couple of good examples. I can think back to a recent small and medium companies to work for list. We do this every year with SHRM magazine. And one company that really has stood out over the years, they were number one for 2 years in a row, and I think they're number three or four now, is Acuity. Acuity is an insurance company in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. They're about 700 strong. And talk about communication practices and commitment. It's very easy to look at best companies and say, best company leaders are committed to the values of the organization. But Ben Salzman, who took the post several years ago, when he did take the position, was surrounded by a group of leaders, surrounded by a team that were not walking the talk. Now, it's very easy for best practice conversation to lead to great leaders walk the talk. But when a leader stops and thinks about what does that mean for me and how do I execute it, Ben Salzman was leading, or actually came from a team of 13 senior vice presidents that he then presided over. And over a period of a couple of years, had to eventually let go 11 out of the 13. And these were his old buddies. These were his old friends. Ben Salzman wasn't a hired from the outside senior executive. He grew up in the organization, but recognized that if he was really going to get that company to be where it could be, he would have to walk the talk in some painful ways. And that meant for him letting 11 out of his 13 very good friends go, rather than sacrifice the culture of the organization. And that, for me, I look back and I think about something like that, and I realize that it's not a walk-the-talk bullet on a values-framed picture in the break room, but that's the embodiment of commitment. And a lot of good examples like that across best companies. It's just over and over again, not simply what to do, but how does it look? How does it look for us, and how do we do it?
Hal, you packed a mouthful in a brief, short period of time.
And so thanks for letting me go there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you for going there, because if we could distill it to a word, what I do hear is commitment.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing that is something that shows up in every moment.
That's right.
It's not something that you put on a plan and hope to get there someday.
That's right.
And no matter what, as you mentioned, no matter what the specific tactics are or the specific strategies are, what really is essential and the common theme here, which is not a trend, but actually something that is proven over time and time again, what you're saying is that how you go about committing to these values and how you go about bringing them out into the workplace and reinforcing them and your commitment and your attention to continuing to do so is the driver here.
You know, that's exactly right. And driver's a great word. And if I have time for one more quick story.
Please.
Lincoln Industries is another medium-sized company, about 600 employees in Lincoln, Nebraska. And it's a manufacturing group. And they basically, it's a metal polishing and finishing company. And they have an incredible culture, absolute best practice benchmark culture. And what they do, they so strongly believe in their values. Their values, their kind of values and drivers, they actually call beliefs and drivers. And they begin every formal meeting in that organization, be it a small task team or an all-hands quarterly meeting, they begin each meeting with reading the beliefs and drivers. So whoever owns the meeting or is facilitating or driving that meeting will begin each of those meetings with a recitation, basically, of their beliefs and drivers. It only takes a few seconds, and from the outside, when you see that on paper or you hear about it, it sounds a bit cult-like and a bit strange and a bit kind of indoctrinating. But when you're in the organization and you see it at work and you see in people's eyes how committed they are to making those words real and how committed that leadership is to making those words real, you see how much that makes sense. Now, this is a perfect example of something you cannot cut and paste. If many of us as leaders in industry were to suddenly begin our meetings with a recital of our values, take them off the wall and start reading them, people might begin to look at you cross-eyed. But at Lincoln Industries, because of who they are and the fabric of their culture, this doesn't simply work. It's an important practice and part of what drives them.
And how appropriate it is for President's Day weekend here that we end with Lincoln Industries. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. We really appreciate it, and we hope you come back time and time again.
My pleasure, Stu. Always very happy to contribute to what you're doing. I think you're doing a great job. I congratulate you on your success.
Thank you so much, Hal, and congratulations on yours, and let's keep it going together.
Take good care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Well, so there you have it. We heard from Hal Adler and Lincoln Industries as a great example of a commitment, where it's not simply just walking the talk, cutting and pasting, as he said. You can't go through the motions here. Just like, you know, there is a difference between having money and living a rich, wealthy life. You know, they're just two separate things. And what we're focused on here is that inside wealth that, you know, and let's use the word commitment, you know, to going to the core and having that sense of presence in as many moments as we possibly can to do our best, whether it's at home, at work, at play, whatever it is. You know, Gwen Mazur, who wrote that really wonderful book, and I do highly recommend you pick up a copy. You know, Wild Women, what was it? Wise Women, Wild Talk. Yeah. You know, where it really is going to the inner core and living life from that place with all of its gusto. And that's something that Hal is showing. And this, by the way, has a lot of management science behind this. This is not just woo-woo, wishful thought. You know, wouldn't it be great if everybody got along and made money, happily ever after kind of thing? You know, doesn't work like that. There's so much management science that a Great Place to Work Institute and many others as well have shown time and time again this huge correlation between a vibrant corporate culture and sustainable profitability. With Lincoln Industries being a great example of people who actually are committed. So they are creating a culture, not a cult, a culture where people are vibrant and people are committed to having the synergy of the whole being greater than the sum of the parts and just really doing their best to be of service and whatever it is their particular mantra is and what they're focused on. Which, as far as I'm concerned, is a great segue to the other Lincoln, the Abe guy. You know, one of the two presidents of President's Day here that we're celebrating. Because our country is no different. In fact, a lot of people think that Mitt Romney should be president because he'd be the CEO of our country and he's most qualified to be CEO. So a lot of people actually look at our country as, in fact, a corporation. Do you? I'm just wondering. Is it about maximizing profits for the country here? Are we simply know at this point, is the country simply a corporation? I don't know. There's something to consider, just popping it out there. From my standpoint, what I'm looking at here is that this country is much more than a business, okay? It's a way of life. It's a way of being. It's a culture. This is a culture. Whether it's a corporation or a government or a country, whatever you want to call it, it's a culture. And it goes right back to the core. Culture really emanates from a core belief system, values, and drivers, as Lincoln Industries called it. And so that comes down to each of us. What are our values and drivers? What is it? And that is something we need to go to the core on. We need to go inside, which is something that all of those wise women that Gwen Mazur did, they went inside themselves and asked, understanding they have choices, and come to their core of what is it that makes a difference in their lives? What is it that brings their inner dancer out in the world for them to twirl about in the world and enjoy life the way they want, with a sense of vibrancy and gusto and whatever words you want to use? And whether you're a guy or a gal, does it really make a difference? Aren't we all human beings that way? And don't we all want to, you know, kick up our heels in our own way and just be thrilled to wake up in the morning and say, yes, what a great day to be alive. Isn't that what we want? That's what I want. And for the most part, I get it, but you know what I mean? We all have our moments. And then the moments that are other, well, they're also there. So let's not ignore them. And at the same time, whatever you feed grows. You feed all the negative crap, it's going to grow and pile up high, and my guess is it's going to go way high above eye level. You know, where you can't even see your way out of it. Or you can focus on what is it that really makes your heart sing? What is it that gets you out of bed? What are your dreams? What are your visions? Not just for your own life, but for this country, this world, this whole existence, this whole game of life that's been created. Yeah, we got thousands of years of history behind us. I think we know a lot so far in terms of what works and what doesn't work. And we can give in and say, that's the way it is. Man is inherently sinful. Man is inherently evil. Man is inherently violent and killing and destructive. And that's just the way it is. Get used to it. Get over it. And here's my particular prescription. If you follow this one, you're done. Well, I think so far, with all due respect, that has proven that it doesn't really work as an effective approach. Maybe because deep down, there's a deeper truth. And just maybe the deeper truth is that it is a gift simply to be alive. No matter how you go about either praying to God, no matter how you go about your life, if we honor each other, respect each other, care for each other, create a world of peace, all men are created equal was written once upon a time as the founding of our country, not as a bill of goods, hopefully, but bill of rights. And isn't it time to take that to a new level? So I'm really inviting you, as we go through this presidential election, to really go within in your own core and see what kind of culture you want this country to have and which leader is best likely to inspire, especially given the fact that we do have a lot of money going out of this country every minute. You know, $720 billion have gone out so far. $720 billion have gone out in Iraq. It could be put to better use. That's just one country heard from, county heard from, yours truly. Whatever yours is, please take the time and go within and figure out for yourself, because we can make a difference. And just like the Giants win the Super Bowl, anything is possible. I got to tell you something. This Inside Wealth thing is not just a wishful thought. There are companies like Hal Adler's List and others who are putting these principles into practice every day. In fact, we're developing a local Bay Area group doing just that. It's called a referral network, and I want you to come to our website at insidewealth.net. That's insidewealth.net, and meet some of the service providers who do walk their talk, who do have a culture of a dedication to excellence of service, of a sense of relationship and not just transaction, the kind of people you'd really like to do business with. So take a look to see how you can take your lives to the next level with people like them. Well, we're just about done. And I just want to say happy President's Day, and also invest in yourself, your passions, your purpose, and your planet.